Monty Python's Flying Circus tonight comes to you live from the Grillo Mat Snack Bar, Paignton.
Hello to you live from the Grillo Mat Snack Bar, Paignton. And so, without any more ado, let's have the titles.
It's...
Monty Python, the Flying Circus.
Were the titles. And now for the first item this evening on the menu. The team has chosen as a little hors d'oeuvre an item, and I think we can be sure it won't be an ordinary item. In fact, the team told me just before the show that anything could happen and probably would. So, let's have the item.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Blackmail. And to start tonight's programme, we go north to Preston in Lancashire and Mrs. Betty Teal. Hello, Mrs. Teal. Now, this is for £15 and is to stop us revealing the name of your lover in Bolton. So, Mrs. Teal, send us £15 by return of post, please, and your husband Trevor and your lovely children Diane, Janice and Juliet need never know the name of your lover in Bolton. And now a letter, a hotel registration book and a series of photographs which could add up to divorce, premature retirement and possible criminal proceedings for a company director in Bromsgrove. He's a Freemason and a prospective Tory MP, that's Mr. S of Bromsgrove. £3,000, please, to stop us revealing your name, the name of the three other people involved, the youth organisation to which they belong, and the shop where you bought the equipment. We'll be showing you more of that photograph later in the programme. Unless we hear from Charles or Michael. And now it's time for our Stop the Film spot. The rules are very simple. We have taken a film which contains compromising scenes and unpleasant details which could wreck a man's career. But the victim may phone me at any point and stop the film. But remember, the money increases as the film goes on. So the longer you leave it, the more you have to pay. So now, with the clock at £300, this week Stop the Film visited Thames Ditton. Hello, sir. Hello, yes. No, sir. No, I'm sure you didn't. No, it's all right, sir. We don't morally censure. We just want the money. Yes, and here's the address to send it to.
Blackmail, behind the hot water pipes, third washroom along, Victoria Station.
Not at all, sir. Thank you.
Sorry, James, it was my mother.
Gentlemen, pray silence for the president of the Royal Society for putting things on top of other things.
I thank you, gentlemen. The year has been a good one for the society. This year, our members have put more things on top of other things than ever before. But I should warn you, this is no time for complacency. No. There are still many things, and I cannot emphasize this too strongly, not on top of other things.
Yes.
I myself, on my way here this evening, saw a thing that was not on top of another thing in any way.
Shame
indeed. But we must not allow ourselves to become too despondent. For we must never forget that if there was not one thing that was not on top of another thing, our society would be nothing more than a meaningless body of men that gathered together for no good purpose. But we flourish. This year, our Australasian members and the various organizations affiliated to our Australasian branches put no fewer than 22 things on top of other things. Well done, all of you. But there is one cloud on the horizon. In this last year, our Staffordshire branch has not succeeded in putting one thing on top of another. Therefore, I call upon our Staffordshire delegate to explain this weird behaviour.
Cutler, Staffordshire. Well, Mr. Chairman, it's just that most of the members in Staffordshire feel the whole thing's a bit silly.
I suppose it is a bit. What have we been doing wasting our lives with all this nonsense? Right, OK, meeting adjourned forever.
Good Lord. I'm on film. How did that happen?
What's going on?
Gentlemen, I have bad news. This room is surrounded by film.
What?
This was trapped.
Don't panic. We'll get out of this. How? We'll tunnel our way out.
Good thinking, sir. I'll get the horse.
Okay, Captain. You dare tell three men start digging and load them up with cutlery.
Sir.
And then we'll have a rota. We'll have 2 hours digging, 2 hours vaulting, and then 2 hours digging.
Sir.
Okay?
Very good, sir. All right, Medway, let's see you get over that horse. Pick your feet up, Medway. Come on, boy!
Stupid English. They're prisoners and all they do is the sport.
One thing there is, me Fritz.
Yeah?
There's a traditionally cheeky, unlovable Cockney sergeant.
Cheer up, Fritz! It may never happen.
My best regards. Good. Everything seems to be in order.
Yeah, that's
true. Colonel, I just found another exit, sir.
Okay, quickly, run this way.
If we could run that way...
Sorry.
I'm terribly sorry. Excuse me.
Well, they certainly seem to be in a tight spot. And I spot our next item. So let's get straight on with the fun and go over to the next item or dish.
Hello, how are you? I'm fine. Welcome to a new half-hour chat show in which me, Viz the man what's talking to you now, and Brookie, to wit my flatmate, and nothing else, I'd like to emphasize that, discuss current affairs issues of Berlin import.
Have you heard the one about the three nuns in the nudist colony?
Shut up. Tonight, the population explosion.
Apparently, there were these three nuns.
Shut up. Come the year 1991, given the present rate of increase in the world's population, the Chinese will be 3D. Another thing.
Sorry, love, sorry. The show's too long this week. This scene's been cut.
Lord Ill's at the bottom of this.
But if you can find a piano stool, you can appear later on the show in film.
How much?
Oh, about 10 bob each.
I wouldn't wipe my nose on it.
Have you heard the one about these three nuns?
I can hear something. Hang about. We may still get in this show as a link.
That's clever. How did he do that?
Colour separation, you cockhead.
No, that's not right. That's got it.
So, British pig, we meet again.
What?
Oh, that bitch, he spilled the entire bottle of Chateau de Tour. Everything.
It's a disaster.
Yeah.
Shut up, the lot of you.
Over here, Sir William.
Sir William, over here.
Over here.
Now stay there.
What are we going to do now?
I don't know. How are we going to get out of this, sir?
How are we going to get out of this?
No idea.
Well, what should we do?
They seem to be in another tight spot.
Could you keep it down a little, please? Thank you so much. And now, could you keep it down, please? Thank you. Well, and now we move on to our main course, our prawn salad. Prawn salad?
Well, if you'll just wait in here, sir, I'm sure Mr. Thompson won't keep you waiting long.
Fine. Thanks very much. The mirror fell off the wall.
Sir?
The mirror fell off the wall. It fell.
I see. You'd better wait here. I'll get a cloth.
It came off the wall.
Yes, sir?
It just came right off the wall.
Really, sir?
Yes. I didn't touch it.
Of course not. It just fell off the wall.
Yes, it just fell off the wall.
Don't move. I'll get help.
Yes, fell off the wall.
Oh, my God! What a mess! Here, did you do this?
No, I didn't do all this. It did it all.
Oh. Well, here. All this. I'll get started.
Oh, it's jolly nice. What is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a Brazilian dagger. What? Whoa!
She just fell onto the dagger.
Yes, of course she did, sir.
Yeah, she just gave me the dagger and tripped and went, oops.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, I understand.
You know, I mean, I didn't.
No, of course not, sir. I understand.
She just fell.
Fell.
Oh, Sorry.
That's him.
Right, Tom.
Oh, hello, officer. There seems to have been an accident. Well, several accidents, actually.
That's right, sir. Would you come this way, please?
Oh! It's me. My heart, sir. Oh! You swine! I'll get you for that.
I won't wait. I'll phone.
Yeah?
Oh,
no, you're good.
How is the school hall?
I think it's over there. Come on. Right. Come on. All right. There you go.
Oh, Mr. Bilbit! You need so soon.
Excuse me. Is that the school hall?
I'm sorry, I don't know. I'm not in this one. I'm in next week's, I think.
Oh. Come on.
Ah! Mr. Belpin!
Here we are.
Well, they seem to have linked that themselves, so there's no need for me to interrupt at all. So, back to the school hall.
For seven brothers.
Tis time the seven Smith brothers had brides. Fetch me Smith Major.
Sir?
Tis time you and your six brothers were married.
Thank you, Headmaster.
Fetch me your six brothers, that the seven brothers may be together.
Behold the seven brothers.
Right, I'll see Watson, Wilkins and Spratt in my study afterwards.
But where shall we find seven brides for seven brothers?
The Sabine School for Girls. Yes, and it's the annual dance.
Fetch hither the seven brides for seven brothers.
Behold the seven brides.
Fetch hither the padre, that the seven brides may marry the seven brothers. Fetch hither the master on duty, that the seven brides may marry the seven brothers.
Sorry I'm late, Headmaster. I've been wrestling with Plato.
What you do in your own time, Padre, is written on the wall in the vestry.
Right.
Do you four boys take these two girls to be your seven brides?
Yes, sir.
Right, go and do your prayer. Yes,
say, Teddy. You said something, Teddy. That's right, I did, Teddy. Well, what is it, Teddy? Piggy banks, Teddy.
Piggy banks, Teddy?
Yes, I want to hunt piggy banks, Teddy.
You want to hunt piggy banks, Teddy?
That's right, Teddy. I got him, Teddy.
Time to bring home the bacon, Teddy.
That's not bacon. That's sirloin, Teddy.
Can't be sirloin. Not from a piggy, Neddy.
But that's sirloin, Teddy.
No, it isn't, Neddy.
Is Teddy?
Isn't Neddy?
Is Teddy?
Isn't Neddy?
Is Teddy?
Looks like I've been playing the fool, Neddy.
That's all right, Teddy.
Thanks awfully, Neddy. Well, thanks a lot, Neddy.
No, it doesn't matter at all.
Jolly sir, though.
No. That's perfectly fine.
Do the same for you.
Good morning. I'd care to purchase a chicken, please.
Don't come here with that posh talk, you nasty stuck-up twit.
I beg your pardon?
A chicken, sir, certainly. Here we are.
And how much does that work out to per pound, my good fellow?
Per pound, you slimy trollop. What kind of a ponce are you?
I'm sorry?
4 and 6 a pound, sir. Nice and ready for roasting.
I see. And I'd care to purchase some stuffing in addition, please.
Use your own, you great poovy ponagger.
What?
Certainly, sir, some stuffing.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you, says the great queen, like a la-di-da poofter.
I beg your pardon.
That's all right, sir. Call again.
Excuse me.
What is it now, you great pillock?
Well, I can't help noticing that you insult me and then you're polite to me alternately.
I'm terribly sorry to hear that, sir.
It's all right, doesn't really matter.
Tough titty if it did, you nasty spotted prancer.
Sorry, I asked for tea. Thank you very much. Well, we've had the dessert, and then... And so, the first item, the last item on our menu of fun is the coffee. No, I did ask for tea.
But you just said coffee.
No, that was just my announcement. It's just a metaphor. We come... Would you mind keeping it down, please? We come, as I said just now, to the coffee.
This is Ken Clean Air System, the great white hope of the British boxing world. After 3 fights and only 2 convictions, his manager believes that Ken is now ready to face the giant American, Saturn V.
The great thing about Ken is that he's almost totally stupid.
Every morning, he jogs the 47 miles from his 2-bedroom, 8-bathroom, 6-up, 2-down, 3-to-go house in Reigate to the government's pesticide research centre at Shoreham. Nobody knows why.
Basically, Ken is a very gentle, home-loving person. I remember when one of his stick insects had a knee infection, he stayed up all night rubbing it with germaline and banging its head on the table.
Oh, such a pretty baby. You're so kind and gentle. Really considerate to his mother, and not at all the kind of person you'd expect to pulverise their opponent into a bloody mass of flesh and raw bone, spitting teeth and fragments of gum into a ring which had become one man's hell and Ken's glory.
Every morning at his little 3-room semi near Reading, Ken gets up at 3 o'clock. And goes back to bed again because it's far too early. At 7 o'clock, Ken gets up, he has a quick shower, a rub down, gets into his tracksuit, and goes back to bed again. At 7:50 every morning, Ken's trainer runs the 13,000 miles from his 2-room lean-to in Bangkok and gets him up.
I used to wake Ken up with a crowbar on the back of the head, but I recently found that this was too far from his brain. And it wasn't getting through to him anymore. So I now wake him up with a steel peg driven into his skull with a mallet.
For breakfast every day, Ken places a plate of liver and bacon under his chair and locks himself in the cupboard.
Well, he's having a lot of mental difficulties with his breakfasts. But this is temperament caused by a small particle of brain in his skull. After he's removed that, he'll be perfectly all right.
At 8:30, the real training begins. Ken goes back to bed and his trainer gets him up. Every morning, Ken arrives at what he thinks is the gym. Sometimes it's a sweet shop. Sometimes it's a private house. Today, it's a hospital. For lunch, Ken crouches down beside the road and rubs gravel into his hair. But lunch doesn't take long. Ken's soon up on his feet and back to bed. And his trainer has to run the 49,000 miles from his two-bedroom, six-living-room treehouse in Kyoto to wake him up.
Hello. When Ken is in a really deep sleep like this one, the only way to wake him up is to saw his head off.
What is he like in the ring? This human dynamo, this 18-stone bantamweight battling ram. We asked his sparring partner and one-time childhood sweetheart, Maureen Spencer.
I think that if Ken keeps his right up, gets in with the left jab, and takes the fight to his man, well, he should go for a cut eye in the third and put Wilcox on the canvas by six.
Ken's opponent in Tuesday's fight is Petula Wilcox, the Birmingham girl who was a shorthand typist before turning pro in 1968. She's keen on knitting and likes Cliff Richard records. How does she rate her chances against Ken?
Well, I'm a southpaw, and I think this will confuse him, particularly with his brain problem.
My lord, ladies, hand me a ball. On my right, on the town of Reigate, in the county of Kent, the heavyweight John of Arlo, the lovely of the chum, the crumb of the chunner, hold on to the gentleman, Mr. Ken Cleaner System! And on my left, Miss Petula Wilcox.
I think boxing is a splendid sport. Teaches your self-defense.
Boxing must have its limits, but providing they're both perfectly fit, I can see nothing wrong with one healthy man beating the living daylights out of a little school. It's quick and it's fun.
Oh, now he's gone. But he left a message. Jack, where's that note that fella left?
Oh. Here you are.
It says, sorry, have to catch the last bus. I'm on the 49B to Babacom.
There you are. Hello. You've got the note. Jolly good. Well, that's all the items that we have for you this week. And what a jolly nice lot of items too, eh? Well, the same team will be back with you again next week with another menu full of items. I don't know if I shall be introducing the show next week, as I understand that my bits in this show have not been received quite as well as they might. But, never mind. The damage is done. No use crying over spilled milk. I've had my chance, and I've muffed it. Anyway, there we are. I'm not really awfully good with words, you see. I'm more of a visual performer. I have a very funny, I say so myself, a very funny, funny walk. I wish I'd been in that show. I'd have done rather well. But anyway, there we are. Show's over. And they'll all be back with you again next week. Sorry. I didn't beg your pardon. I don't like these blips. I wish it had said the end.